The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
It works, it works. Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. We've been having problems with our computers over the last couple of days. They've been tending to say no, but today it said yes. It's the little things, isn't it? It's the little things. How are you? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Friday evening seems like a lifetime away. Isn't that the way it is, isn't it? Time has become stretched or something. We did a Beyblade tournament, just the four of us, on Friday night. You know, Beyblades, they're sort of antiques by now, but Tom collects them. They're spinning tops. And then you put two of them into a thing, a stadium it's called. It's just a little plastic thing. And they bang off each other. And the last man standing wins. And we did best of three. And we had the tournament. That was Friday night. But it seems like a lifetime away. It seems like a lifetime away. And then all the other stuff over the weekend. Clear the shed. Fix the bike. Baked bread. Watch telly. Did press-ups. All of that sort of stuff. Last week, actually, on the show... And this came up over the weekend as well. Last week we played this version of We'll Meet Again. This version here. This one, where is it gone? Oh, I've got rid of it. Oh, this one here, yeah.
We'll meet again, don't know where.
And we played it the day that we read the letter from the Italian writer who'd written a letter to us from the future, because they're a bit ahead of us in the whole pandemic crisis. And we played a bit of that. And then over the weekend, of course, the Queen was on and she referenced the song We'll Meet Again by Vera Lynn at the end of her speech. We will be with our friends again. We'll be with our families again. We will meet again, she said. And as a result of that, the song's gone back into the iTunes charts. The Vera Lynn version.
We'll meet again. Don't know when, don't know when.
Written by Ross Parker and Huey Charles in 1939. It became the anthem of hope during the Second World War for troops and for their friends and family at home. But it's very much a British song, isn't it? And I was thinking to myself, do we have a similar song? Do we have a song that we could use? A song of hope. A song of solidarity, a song of, you know, promise to meeting our loved ones after all this is over, a song of comfort. And I don't know if we have an obvious one. What do you, I was thinking of, would it be, you know, this one, probably a bit overplayed, still a great song, U2 and One. Maybe we don't do that sort of thing, that mawkish sort of sentimentality. We're not good with that, are we, us Irish? Would it be that? Or would it be something like this? Because we were having the chat over the weekend and by coincidence, this came on the Spotify playlist. Jerry Fish and the Woodbug Club and True Friends. Let's have a listen to a little bit of this and see if this would work. Jerry, when you're ready, please. Thank you.
Day will break, stars will fall. There's always something you'll forget to say. Don't dismay. True friends never part. Time will pass, paths will stray. There's always someone who will break your heart. There's no point being cruel. True friends never part.
So you might know, you might have a suggestion. A song that would work for us as a nation. Because it's not We'll Meet Again. Or maybe we could cope. I don't think we would. No, it's a very pretty song. What do you think? Any suggestions? 51551 ray@rte.ie. We were talking last week about the free on post postcards. They're free, as in the postcard is free, and delivery is free as well. So well done on post. And I didn't realise the tagline is come together right now. Which is a quote from a Beatles song, but it's not R-I-G-H-T, it's W-R-I-T-E. Very clever. Come together right now. And you would have got them, but most people would have got them. And we've got three of them in. So thank you very much. One of them is blank. They just sent us a postcard. That was very nice of them. And then Cliona sent us one. She says, "Dears all of you, and this is for everybody in RT, you have no idea how much you mean to us these days. You keep our spirits up and you encourage and entertain us and inform us. And it can't be easy for you," says Cliona. And Cliona tunes in at 5:30 in the morning to Shay, and she stays with us throughout the day, cocooned. She doesn't say where she is, and she addresses it to all in RT staff, Dundeebuck Dublin 4. Thanks for that, Cliona. Glad to be with you. And Frank in Portumna sent us one as well. Is this a bit of poem or a bit of prose? "We all watched as the virus came silent in the air, bring us a new panic as we waited patiently for the sound of the birds in the beautiful sky. In the darkest of times, we see the most stars." Frank Hardy, Portumna. And that's a good metaphor, but it's probably literally true as well, because there's less light pollution. We know, we've established that there's less sound pollution now, so we're hearing the birds. And I'd say at night, there's less light pollution, so we're probably seeing more of the stars. Thanks for that, Frank Carty, Portumna. And if you get those, send them on. Don't leave them in that drawer that has all the stuff that you never use, like the measuring tape and the keys that you don't know what they're for. What else is in that drawer? There's so many things in that drawer. It's always a mess. And then you clear it out and you just repopulate it with the stuff that you've taken, you know, eventually. And you have to, anyway, that's life, isn't it? That's life. We've time now to do clean out all those drawers. Get to it, get to it. And who else was on? ray@rte.ie. Ellen was on. She says, "I'm sure you recall running a competition back in about 2014 for the best ham sandwich recipe." Ellen, of course I remember that. Google has let me down, so I don't remember what it was. Neither do I. "I'm boiling a ham today, Ray." Good on you, Ellen. "Having a hanging or a hankering for a nice ham sandwich. Or should it be a hank sandwich? It's midterm now." Yeah, it's the Easter holidays. It's the Easter. Yeah. "And we're going to try to do new things with my four children, like making foods they usually eat, like a ham sandwich, but from scratch. So baking the bread, cooking the ham themselves, etc. On a different note, please do a Den special on the telly. I heard a listener suggest similar to you last night, week. I was said night there because I had a dream about it, didn't I? One nostalgic carton for each age group, finishing with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air." Oh, cartoon, not carton. See, you left out an O there, Ellen. And a programme on the telly became something you hold milk in. Anyway, "one nostalgic cartoon for each age group, finishing with Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It would be like a toy show gathering for families, add a bit of excitement into life on a Saturday afternoon evening, all the family together laughing back at Mam and Dad's old TV, introducing to Dustin and Zig and Zag and Socky and Zuppy and all the lads." That's from a rainy West Wicklow. And "for the rain to make our grass grow, badly needed." It was lovely rain yesterday. It was beautiful rain yesterday. It was like that. You remember they became very popular a couple of summers back when it was really hot here? That spray, the spray of spring water that you used to put in your face. That's the way the rain was yesterday in Dublin. It felt like that. Beautiful. Anyway, Ellen O'Neill, I'll pass your email on to the powers that be. See what happens with that. Sorry, I can't remember the ham sandwich, the perfect ham sandwich. Can't remember that. "And would you wish my future daughter-in-law, Sarah Nolan from Skerries, a very happy 30th birthday today. She's a physiotherapist working very hard in James Connolly Hospital, Blanchestown, along with the fantastic hospital staff. We want to say a big thank you to all of you and to tell Sarah we love her so much and we're also very proud of her. We'll put the celebrations on hold for a while when there will be brighter days ahead." And that's Yolanda, Martin and all the Scully family, Skerries, and the Leahy family from Cabra in Dublin. So that's that there. Keep your suggestions coming in there. "Would you wish Mother Hilda Fearn," this is just fresh off the presses here, "from Goldstown, a very happy 90th birthday. She was 90 yesterday and she would be delighted to hear her name over the radio." Done. Happy birthday, Hilda. And that's from your daughters, Mary, Philly and Jane. "Ireland's Call," says somebody. I don't know. "One is the one. What about the Saw Doctors? Never mind the strangers." David Leakstep, not familiar with it. "Green Fields of France," don't know. "Raise Me Up," yeah. That was, what's his name, Graham? What's his first name? Brendan Graham. Brendan Graham wrote that. He's an Irishman. "I Can See Clearly Now from the Hothouse Flowers." That's a good one too. "The Part in Glass." Hosier did it on the Late Late. Not last week, the week before. "The best Irish song is The Golden Horde." "Friends in Time." Now, there's a great idea as well. "Friends in Time" by The Golden Horde. You may not know it as a song by The Golden Horde, but you'd recognise it when you hear it. "Isle of Hope," "Isle of Tears" would work by Sean Keane. A number of people have said that. "You'll Never Walk Alone." Yeah, "It's a Long Way to Tipperary." Probably a bit upbeat. "A song that comes to mind as a nation would be Mickey Joe Hart's We've Got the World Tonight." Man, Kevin and Cork. We have all the time in the world. It's a beautiful day, somebody else says, when Irish eyes are smiling. It All Works Out by the Riptide Movement. Yes, that's a song full of hope. Everyone knows it as well, Connor, because it was featured on the Fáilte Ireland ads. So it was on heavy rotation, as they say. We're on the run road, says Brendan. Days Like This, we played that the other day, says Sharon, or maybe The Healing Game by Van. I Hope You Meet Again by the Saw Doctors. Jumbo Breakfast Roll. Hey! We can't lose our sense of humour. We can't lose our sense of humour. Keep them coming in and we'll see what we have at the end of it. There might be just a ding moment when somebody suggests a song and we all go, that's the one! That's the one. Today, on the All-Ireland Quiz, I can't say that without doing this. Yes, we're in the final week of our first round ties. And today is the turn of Down and Longford. So if you live in or were born in either of those counties and you want to step up to the plate and fly the county flag, we want to hear from you today. Down and Longford. Down and Longford. Your county needs you. Just in case you don't know, it's a general knowledge quiz. 5 questions each. Thank you. So get ringing now, 1850 715 900. Is that it? 1850 715 900. And Maeve is waiting for your call. 1850 715 900. Okay, I tell you what we'll do. We'll give Jerry Fish a full play, will we? Or we'll give you two a full play. Which would you like to hear? Stop, James, last. Stop. There you go, stop. Okay, we'll give Jerry Fish a play, yeah. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. It's a nice song. True Friends, Jerry Fish and the Mudbug Club. What else are you suggesting now? Is a song, a sort of Our We'll Meet Again, because we can't rob it from them. I know what you're saying. They robbed a lot from us over the years. No, we can't. We can't be robbing songs from them. So we need one of our own. Kirsten McCall's version of Days. Luke Kelly does a great version of that as well. That's a song I love. Thank You for the Days. Nathan Carton, The High Kings, May the Road Rise to Meet You, suggests Maria. A Song for Ireland by the aforementioned Luke Kelly, suggested by Frank Kelly. Crazy World. Yeah, the lyrics work. A Song for Ireland, says Owen and Kilkenny. And Brendan Grace had a song called You've Got a Friend. Is that the James Taylor one? Or was that Carole King who wrote it and James Taylor recorded it, had a hit? You tell me. Best song, Summer in Dublin by Bagatelle. I don't know if the message is right. Put Them Under Pressure. Again, I don't know if the message is right. But thank you for your suggestion. And Johnny Doohan, Don't Give Up Till It's Over. That's Liam Sheehan. I must have a listen to that. Keep them coming in. 51551ray@rte.ie. Now, an ongoing saga on this show between myself and Owen Colfer is finally coming to a glorious end at the end of May. And Owen is on the line to tell us all about it. How are you doing, Owen?
Good. I feel it's like every 3 months we have to have this conversation.
And it's not about me at all. I don't know why I even included myself in it, but it's
yeah. I know, but we've been doing it for like since
forever.
In the lighthouse.
So look, that could be 7 or 8 years ago. Owen Colfer.
Yeah. That's when you jumped out the window just afterwards.
That's right. It was nothing to do with you. It was planned before I had to chat with you. Yeah. Anyway, good to talk to you.
You too.
Are you
in studio?
I am in studio. Yes, I am in studio. Yeah.
If I have to ask you that.
There may come a time when I could broadcast from home, but it hasn't happened yet. We're still here. Yeah. Jamie's outside, and Niamh's outside, and Maeve and Fiona are upstairs, and everybody's keeping healthy. And what about yourself?
I'm at home. I have a lovely little office in my garden in Monkstown. So most of my day is as usual, and it's just when I step out of here that you realise that the world has gone a bit mad.
Yeah, so your day is much the same as it always was.
Yeah, you know, first of all, maybe I swim out to Dalkey Island with the weights tied to me, then swim back in, then I run. I was thinking, that's something I never knew about you. were you just on the verge of challenging me there? having seen my shape, I'm usually at my office by about 8 or 7:30. just kind of work off and on all day. So yeah, so more or less the same.
Okay, now here's the big news. The ongoing saga is that of Artemis Fowl coming to the big screen. And that's the yes. chat we've been referring to and has been going on for 8 or 9 years.
Yeah.
And it's coming to a climax, a different one than you would have expected or wanted, maybe?
Well, the drama has been unfolding for the past few weeks. And the conclusion, which is that it's going to go straight on to Disney Plus,
right?
Was the one that I've been pushing them for, because I felt... Now, I don't think they decide to do it because I asked for it, but the only way that people were going to get to see this, certainly this year and possibly next year, would be on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Because everything has been pushed out with the coronavirus at least a year. So, and then Disney Plus suddenly became the most profitable arm of Disney literally overnight, because it used to be the parks, but the parks are all closed down now. And so Disney Plus needed content. So they talked about it and they thought, what better way than to put this original movie, this, big tempo movie directly onto Disney Plus.
That's very exciting, Owen.
That's how I'm trying to look at it.
No, but it is. But it is very exciting because I've seen the reaction and the welcome that Disney Plus has got in our house from everybody.
Yeah. It's the same in our house. You know, we're all adults more or less, but there's still a huge, everybody loves it. So,
yeah.
I mean, it is exciting. People ask me what has been the reaction being online, but I don't really know. I mean, I have a little Instagram thing. I think I might have 10,000 followers. There's a cat called Artemis Fowl on Instagram who has more followers than me. I don't really push it. I miss that boat. I'm in my mid-50s. It's not really for me. So when someone tells someone of my friends are like, you're telling me I'd have to watch it on a different station. It's not really a big thing in their lives, you know, that it's shifted platforms.
No. So, and the world has changed just in the last 2 months completely.
It has changed.
And I think it's really exciting. I think it'll happen more and more, will it? That things will go straight to, because they're going to need big events like that, aren't they? Because there's so much competition now, Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and the list goes on and on with the lesser ones. But they're going to need big events.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going back now. I was talking to a guy, an agent in Hollywood, a friend of mine, and he said it's all changed forever.
Yeah.
That people are not going to go back to waiting 3 months to see something. They're just going to want it straight away. The logic they gave me for the Artemis switch is that this is like a test case. They're going to see how this goes, and if it goes well, then it's going to happen more. So
a measure of its success would be the number of new subscribers they get when it's released, would it be?
I suppose so. I mean, it's all very mysterious. You know, the Netflix numbers and the Disney numbers. I don't really understand them. Not that I really go looking for them, but I think the measure of success would be if they call me in a week and say, we want to do a sequel,
right,
then I would say that would be successful. Not that, you know, I'd have anything to do with it, really. It's totally Kenneth Branagh's.
I know, but you created her. Just to let you know, remind you that you created Artemis Fowl. Yeah.
That's what I tell everyone. No, I did. I mean, I've only sold Disney the first book. So if they wanted to do more, they'd have to come back to me. So hopefully, that would be great if that would happen. And then I would buy myself a bigger shed and a second jacket.
Right.
That would be my idea.
So what's the date then? It's going to land. Isn't that what they say? Land on Disney Plus.
It's going to land. I believe the children say drop. It's going to drop.
Sorry, it's going to drop, right? Okay.
Or maybe that's music. I'm not really sure. Right. I'm going to embarrass myself.
Land drop.
My kids,
right.
My two boys are probably in the house now. I'm groaning.
Cringing.
I think what they've said so far, it was not easy to say cringing. Groaning was enough, I felt. But 29th of May is the original date they're trying to stick to. But at the moment, they're just saying it's going to be a big summer release.
Okay.
So we don't know for sure, but I would like to see it stick to the same date because
Now, I think
that's
in
what
one
we
of
were geared up for him.
In one of the many conversations we've had, I think you did mention the premiere and the red carpet and how excited you would be about that. And maybe you'll recreate that at home. Maybe you walk from the shed to the house or something like that.
That's a very cruel thing to say, Ray. Why would you? I don't know. I probably will. I'll get some special effects guru to, you know, put down a fake red carpet and then. I've only got one friend who's a star, and that's Dustin the Turkey. So I'm just going to have to fumble along, and he'll have to walk. Maybe he'll interview me because you're nobody until you've been roundly insulted by Dustin. So
you can put that up on your Instagram for your 10,000 followers. I'd follow you for that.
If I would just pretend I'm a cat, that's the way I feel to get followers on Instagram.
Oh, that's right. Owen Call for the Cat. Just before you go, because I know you're into music, I was just saying there about they have, you know, We'll Meet Again, and we don't have a similar song. I don't know if we need one, or anyway, it's just musings. What do you think? Have you got, would you, anything jump out at you?
Well, no. I've always loved the band Heathers, and they have a great song called, what's it called? Forget Me Nots. And the main line there is, it's all right not to feel okay. And I think that would be quite a good one for these times.
And there's a relation of yours in the band, is there?
In Heathers?
Heathers. Sorry. Yeah. I didn't even hear what you said. You're breaking up there. Heathers. Yes.
It's there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Heathers, yeah.
Yeah, Heathers. Yes, I know that song. Yes, yeah, that's a good idea as well. Yeah, I'll dig that out.
Yeah. The girls are now looking at each other and going, "Oh, Confers are dead? What happened there?"
Now, your brother is a singer-songwriter, because I've met him before.
My brother is a singer-songwriter, too. Yeah.
I met him before, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, 29th of May, and it's on Disney Plus, Artemis Fowl, the movie, the much-talked-about movie, an adaptation of the book, and probably more adaptations to come. Owen, mind yourself.
So.
Stay sane.
Too,
stay sane. Good luck.
I'll talk to you in 3 months.
Yes, see you. Bye. What a different story. Now, Down. Come on down. Come on down. You're letting us down, Down. We're looking for somebody to represent Down in our All-Ireland quiz. So it's 5 questions, general knowledge. You're up against Longford today. So step up to the plate. Fly your county flag. 1850 715 900. Down. Come on down. 1850 715 900. Thank you for that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or 51551. Good afternoon, Sister Stan.
Afternoon, Ray.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Good, how are you?
Good, I'm good, yeah. So you're officially cocooning?
Oh, yeah, I am officially. I am in reality as well.
How is that working out for you?
Well, it's okay, you know, it's okay. I plan my day and it's fine. I mean, I suppose the frustrating thing about it is the sense of powerlessness. The fact that you can do so little about such great suffering, you know, so you have to kind of come. I have to kind of come to terms with that in my life, and I suppose try and reach out remotely to the suffering world, you know, remotely spiritually through prayer and meditation, and uniting with the suffering of the world, and I suppose realizing more and more that this is our world. These are our people who are suffering. It's not just in Ireland or Spain. It's right across the world. India, China, it's right across the Americas. The whole world is suffering, and we are suffering with it, because as the poem says, no man, John Donne's poem says, no man's an island entire with self. Every man's a piece of the continent, a part of the main. So we are part of it, and I suppose it's realizing that and gathering that in our hearts and sending out compassion from the deepest part of us to the suffering and believing that will work. I mean, that for me is really important, but I believe in it.
Because I would imagine there are lots of people who immediately said, oh yeah, that's it, because people feel frustrated, because the call to action is inaction. So and people who are compassionate and want to help are feeling frustrated because they can't.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But I think if people realise that they can do it at another level, you know, that we're not just body and mind. And you can go through your life and think you're just body and mind, and that you are your role and you follow a routine, and that's life. But that's at a superficial level. There is another level to our life, which is the spiritual life that we all have within us, a spirit. And that's what keeps us going. Whatever we call that, I might call it the Holy Spirit of God, but there is a spirit, and often we go at such a fast pace that that light can go out.
No, I was just going to say, is there a communal spirit? You know, is it like, you know, that we can tap into? The way you were talking, that you meditate and you put out sort of a positive energy, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
Where does that go?
Yeah, that goes out to the whole world. It goes out to people that never heard of you and you never heard of you. I believe that. That spiritual force is there, and I send it from the radiance of my heart. I really and truly believe that. And I think the way to discover that is to stop and to be still. And when we do that, when we quieten the mind and the body, we'll discover there's something else. And there is a vast world, a spiritual world. And that's, I think, what you mean, is there a communal. That is the communal community that we can link into. And, I mean, people maybe who don't meditate would say this is all baloney. It's actually, it's very simple. I mean, if people only stopped for 1 minute a number of times a day and they just breathed mindfully, just to breathe mindfully, that would change a person's day. That could change your life. In fact, when if you try to do it, if you haven't done it before, you realize that the minute you're halfway through, you say, I must go now. Because we're not used to stopping. We're not used to being with ourselves. So I suppose I have great faith in that. And the sanctuary now is online, doing meditation 3 times a week, Monday and Wednesday and Thursday. It's great, and it's really sending powerful messages out.
Isn't it nearly, well, it is ironic, that the technology that we were given out about for so long, well, some of us were, is now facilitating something like meditation for you?
It is ironic, and it is, in a way, it is wonderful. It is absolutely wonderful, because we know that we can reach in a new way. And I suppose what we must also hold on to in this time is that we know this will end. We don't know when it will end, and that's, nobody knows that, and that's pretty scary. But we know in our hearts it will end. We know that the world will heal, but will not heal without us. We must do our part physically by cooperating with the guidelines, but we must do our part too spiritually, and building into our lives a time to reflect, to stop, and to just slow down the pace, and to realise the ultimate meaning and purpose and significance of our lives, which is beyond our role and beyond our routine. But I think we must believe that there will be, this can lead to a better life, a better world, because we will change. We will change if we give the time for reflection and stopping. We will change, and we will develop a new dream. We will develop new choices, and we'll create a new way of living and a new way of healing. There's a lovely poem that John, I don't know, so many lovely poems, but there's a piece of one that I've read a lot over the past year. But it says, gradually you will return to yourself, having learned a new respect for your heart and the joy that dwells deep within slow time.
Slow time.
Yes, slow time.
And that's what it is. I was just saying that at the beginning of the show, that time it seems to be stretching or something.
Exactly. It's different. Time is different.
It is different. And the days of the week are plenty. You know, like every day is like a Sunday or whatever.
Exactly.
And do you, you see, and a lot of people are saying that we will come out of this different and better. I would love to think so, but I'm not too sure that'll be the case.
Well, it will only be the case if we use the time to stop and reflect and think about ourselves as part of the world. Think of our fragility and our interdependence on each other. I mean, I think this already just changed everything, that we are totally dependent. But if we only realise that much, that would change us, and that would change the kind of world we live in. And, you know, I kind of feel it had to come because we were going at such a pace in a kind of a headless way that something had to stop us. But as you say, we have to use it in a way that is positive and that's good. But we can.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that people have time that they didn't have ever before. And we had filled our lives with distractions. And consumerism was probably the top of the list of our distractions. And that's been taken away from us. I suppose people can shop online or whatever. But do you not, I just get a sense that there's going to be a splurge when this is over, that all the excesses that we're talked about now will come to the fore, multiplied by 10 or 100.
Well, it depends on how we use this time.
Yeah.
If we use it constructively, if we use it in a positive way, if in a reflective way, and realizing our part in the world, and that we really have been part of the destruction of the world and the destroying of the planet. If it helps us to be more aware of how are we connected with the suffering people, the millions of people, of refugees who are walking the world looking for a home, if it makes us realise that we are connected with it, either making it happen or we're stopping it happening. If we have that realisation during this slow time, then I think it will change the way we behave. But as you said, if we don't use the time, because we can become involved in other things during this slow time and not really...
Allow ourselves to think, yeah.
Exactly.
And like, I'm thinking of two words there that would be useful to sort of throw around the place if you have some time in your hands to think, and that's empathy and compassion, because there's a universality about, if that's the way to, a universality about this now, isn't there? That every country, as you say, is suffering the same.
Oh, absolutely. And it brings us right home to our own doorstep, right home to us. This virus could be with me tomorrow or you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nobody is exempt. And that kind of oneness, universality, I mean, it is really a time for us to reflect on that.
Mm.
And I honestly believe if we do, it will change us. And if it changes us, it changes the world.
And Sister Stan, because, you know, your work for the last 40 and more years with the homeless people as well documented, but like we've been saying a number of times, and people have been saying that if life was tough for you before this, it's tougher now. And yet, the stories of people who are in emergency accommodation and who are sleeping rough, they're gone off or the pages of the newspaper and off the radio and off the television because the coronavirus has taken over.
That's right. And, you know, it is a really difficult time for them. I really know from focus talking to them today and every day. They're working at the same rate and with greater strength than before. And it's much more difficult work because homeless people have other underlying situations and issues, and it can affect them worse. So we have situations now where we have Focus, for example, is now starting as well to work with people who are in social isolation, homeless people, with the HSE, who have provided apartments for them where they can socially isolate. But many of those have other very serious conditions. So it is really, really awful. Then we're working with the families who are in bed and breakfast. We work with 500 families there, working remotely, but also offering support, emotional support. But it's much more difficult work. It's much more
Challenging, yeah.
Challenging work, yes. It's really challenging. And as you say, it's gone off our radar, but in fact, they're probably suffering more than any. And you know, in any of the hospitals, there are three or four people sleeping in one room. So if the virus gets in there, it'll take over. So they're probably our clusters that we don't hear of.
Yes.
Yet, yeah. You know. Yeah. So it is much harder. It's much harder work. Much harder work.
Are you scared, Stan?
No. I'm not scared. No. I know. I have great hope. Yeah. I have great hope that this will pass and will bring the best out of us. Yeah. No, and I'm not scared about being alone or not being able to go out. No.
And so meditation online. Did you do it this morning at 10 o'clock?
10 o'clock this morning, yeah.
How was that? How many people joined the session on
Zoom?
There
were, I think 120 this morning.
Right, okay.
On Saturday I did one as a kind of on the pandemic, but also preparing for Easter, and there were 320 or something at that. So it reaches out to people, you know,
yeah.
And it's a great support for people as well. So it's good. And so many people are praying as well, you know. Different religious groups and people who weren't religious are praying now when they wouldn't pray before, because that gives them their hope. So there's a lot of quiet things happening, you know, that are sustaining the people who are on the front line. But I suppose we can't leave out of our minds the front line and the people who are working, whether they're working with homeless people or whether they're working with sick people. I mean, the demand on the people in the health service is huge.
Huge. Ginormous, yes. And they're literally putting themselves in harm's way. And every morning when they get up and go into work.
Absolutely.
It's difficult to put into words how much we appreciate what they're doing, but we'll say thank you, thank you, thank you over and over again.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I hope they're getting the kind of support they need, support they need.
There was the letter read out there from a frontline worker on Liveline, and it sounds that maybe they're not in some situations, but there you go.
Yeah.
I always find your voice calming and settling, and particularly today. I don't know why, but particularly today, you brought me and I hope our listeners to a serene place. You're a great ad for meditation and what you do. So thanks for taking time out to talk to us.
Thank you, Lee. It's a pleasure.
Mind yourself.
Thank you.
Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We have got literally hundreds of suggestions for the song that'll bring us through this. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to print them all off and bring them home and sit down in front of Spotify this evening and listen to them all and give them all due consideration. And then maybe tomorrow come back with a short list of 10 or something like that. Play your clips and see how you react then. Is that fair? I think that's fair enough. Now, Professor Noel Fitzpatrick, super vet, is on the line. How are you doing, Noel?
Hello, Ray. How are you today?
I'm good. That's a great line there. You sound like you're next door.
I'm just next door, Ray. Just next door. In the middle of this tumultuous time, we're all just next door. We need to remember that.
Yeah. A lot has been made of how people are finding solace and comfort in their pets.
Yes.
And you probably are saying, I told you so.
Well, it was interesting to hear the beautiful lady you just had
Sister
on now
Stan,
talking
yeah.
about yeah, talking about meditation. I didn't hear all of it, but I heard a little bit down the phone line. And I think that what's happening is it's bringing us closer to our true meaning for existence, which is love. And she was talking a little bit about meditation, and I've had some self-confinement before the confinement, which is because I broke my neck. So I had a little bit of time in my own headspace. And when you're in that space, animals access unconditional love. I'm lucky enough to have a cat and a dog in my life. They live with me at work. They live with me at home. And I think what you say is absolutely right. And I know I've been saying this for years, but that prism through which you get a glimpse of unconditional love with an animal in your life is extraordinary. And we don't see that a lot with human beings, but we're seeing more of it now. And I'm hoping during this crisis and afterwards that we get integration through isolation. In other words, that we imagine our similarities rather than our differences, and we rejoice that our neighbor is there to shelter us in our time of need. And never was it more prevalent or pertinent that animals shelter us from ourselves than now.
Yeah, there's great comfort in having an animal around the place, and particularly for people who are living on their own. It must be a real lifesaver for some people. How are things back in Ballyfin? Have you got people still in Ballyfin?
Yeah, I was on the phone to my mammy last weekend, mammy. And she said, Siarnóil, I've had a head start on isolation on all of yous. Which she has. So she's perfectly fine. She's 91 now, and she's a wonderful woman. So if you're listening, Mammy, we all appreciate your brown bread in the past in our times of isolation. And it's never more important than now to look after your mammy and those that are important to you, and realize that, in fact, that's all there is, that looking after each other, looking after that love, that's all there is.
And is she in good health, Noel?
She's fine. You know, I mean, she's as good as can be expected. There's certainly nothing wrong with her tongue. She's well able to speak.
And, so you didn't lick it off a stone. You didn't lick it off a stone.
Bright as a button. Bright as a button.
You're, there's no end to your talents. Was this something that came out of your time at home and I need to do something, so you decided to do a podcast?
No. No. You and I first met, I think, when you came to a little talk I gave at UCD some years ago.
Yes.
And I've noticed for a long time, so we're talking about the podcast today, which is called Animal People. And I've noticed for some time that animal people are good people. You know, they are kind, they're generous. And what I've noticed is that in my consulting room, the facade of life comes crashing down around you. I mean, when we're at a dinner party, we have a facade. In work, we have a facade. In society, we have a facade. A dog or a cat doesn't give a damn. You know, they don't really care if you're Bono or if you're Joe shifting rubbish or if you're Mary stacking shelves. They really don't care. And because that facade comes down, prince or pauper, we're all the same. And that was very interesting to me, that commonality of humanity. So I wanted to make a little broadcast about people's lives as seen through that prism, the prism where animals make us truthful, authentic, having integrity. So this week's, for example, is on Fern Cotton. Last week's was on Charlene Spiteri. And the week before, I talked to Brian May from Queen. And it's not a podcast for people who like animals. It's a podcast for people who like life and who like love.
Right. But all the people you're talking to are animal people.
Yes, and yes. That's the interesting thing, because we're all animal people. Even if you don't have an animal in your life, you're an animal yourself. And it's true. And
I was going to say, I was going to say, Noel, that you're excluding some people by calling it animal people, but you've sorted that out there, just there now. Yes.
A 1,000,000%. I mean, I have a charity called the Humanimal Trust, and it emphasizes our commonality. We're all animals, and what animals need is love, comfort, and somebody to look after you and protect you, and love, health, and something to look forward to. And that's what this podcast is about. It's not just for people who love dogs and cats or horses or any animal. It's about people who love people. And my passion is communication, and that requires a love of people and a love of animals. And that's what I do in my consulting room every day, and that's what I do on this podcast.
Did you ever think of being a psychiatrist or a psychotherapist?
I've had many of those in my life. God knows.
Oh, have you? Right, okay.
No, I think that what happens is that people, when they come in my room, it's the ultimate hairdressers, isn't it? You tell your vet everything, the cancer you've had, the divorce you've had, the crisis you're having in your life. And that's very interesting, don't you think? Because imagine Brian May in the 70s. He's a scientist studying astrophysics, and a bloke says to him, why don't you join our band, you know, or why don't we have a band? And there's a cat on the floor of that laboratory called Einstein. And then he meets Freddie Mercury, and Freddie writes a song on Night at the Opera while he's thinking about Bohemian Rhapsody about a cat. Can you imagine that? And I'm interested in what they feel at those moments, you know, when life changes. And So the podcast reflects life, the journey of life.
Yeah. How are you? You broke your neck.
I did. What a silly boy. I actually decided to have empathy with all the dogs with the cone of shame on. So I put a cone of shame on my own neck for 6 weeks. Joking aside, you know what? You take everything for granted until it's gone. Yeah. And I think all of us are recognizing that in this particular crisis. You know, the simple touch of a friend, the ability to move your hands, the ability to go walk to work. I mean, we take so much for granted, and that's one thing that this is bringing home to us, our humanity.
Mm.
I fell down the stairs and broke my neck. So Jamie, I had a little bit of a realization. Yeah.
And will you make a full recovery?
I will, thank God. Yeah, I'm just coming back to work now. And interestingly, first operation I did was on a dog with a broken neck. So,
because that human animal thing, good. And we've had this chat before, and you give out about the fact that there isn't a sort of a meeting of minds when it comes to animal surgery and medicine and human surgery and medicine. And you think that the world would be a better place if there was a meeting of minds in those two areas.
Well, I'll tell you something which is very pertinent to now. There's no question that COVID-19, the virus SARS-CoV-2, has come from an animal source. No question. I think there's general consensus on that. What about if we look at that together in a world where we recognize that as we deracinate ecosystems, as we encroach on habitats, as we eat wild animals, as we create a situation where the virus can mutate, just a couple of base pairs in that RNA sequence of a coronavirus that's able to latch onto a human cell and propagate within it. What if it recognizes our similarity? If the tiniest thing in the universe can create the biggest problem, if even the tiniest thing in the universe can recognize the similarity between a man and an animal, how come we can't? With all our cognitive capability, and as a passing thought on that, just to finish that thought up, if we don't recognize our similarity in cancer, in infection, in arthritis, we will pay the price. And we'll pay the price of a world that's shrinking because of global warming, because we, as human beings, are intrinsically arrogant and selfish. And as a result of that, we neglect our animal friends. And when we do that, look at what happens to us. Nature reclaims its space. And it's for us now to recognise that this integration through isolation includes animals too.
And Noel, just so people understand this, because we've had this chat before, so I understand completely, that this isn't about doing experimentation on animals. This is about treating animals.
Absolutely not. It's about recognising the commonalities in disease and studying them. So, for example, studying prostate cancer in a man and a dog, studying coronavirus in wild animals and in humans at the same time to understand and unlock the secrets that are going to help ourselves. And moreover, to create a respect, not just for the physicality and the medicine, which is called one medicine, but a respect for the health, physical and mental, of animals and humans. I mean, it'll be a sorry, sorry world if we lose more and more animals. And to clarify your point, it's not about experimentation.
No.
It's about recognizing the similarities. And this is a great, great time to tell all of us that the virus that originated in animals is so similar, with 90% plus, 97%, 98% to the virus that's infecting a human. So we are all animals.
Yes.
And it's important for us to recognize our place in the hierarchy of that.
Animal People is the new podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. I can't let you go without talking about the Netflix phenomenon that is Tiger King and Joe Exotic. It's the number one program on Netflix in Ireland at the moment. Have you seen any of it?
Well, what's wonderful about things that are number one, Ray, is that you and I both know that if it doesn't involve you putting U2's One as the top of your song list, then I will not have seen
it. You're
not
seen it.
Because if it doesn't involve Bono, I haven't watched it.
Is he a must-get for your podcast, Bono?
You know what? Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. I mean, but yes, absolutely. Yeah. Bono, if you're listening, in about 10 years' time, when you consent.
Is he an animal person or is he just an animal?
I think he's both.
He's both, right.
I do think, though, that, to be respectful to your question, I have not seen that program. I don't know anything about it. I've been busy managing the practice and making sure that everybody gets looked after and the animals get looked after in emergencies, as we're allowed to do. But I think that one of the things I'm hearing from my nurses is that, again, it reflects our moral responsibility for animals. We can't just use them for our benefit. We have a moral responsibility, and now more than ever is the time to step up to that.
Noel, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Professor Noel Fitzpatrick, Animal People is the podcast with Noel, and it's available on Spotify and iTunes and the rest. Thanks, Noel. Good talking
to
you.
Thanks so much, Ray. Have a great day. Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 Ray at RTE.ie. To keep us laughing, try Rosaline Lennon on The Late Late with Gabo, with Soap Your Arse and Slide Backwards Up a Rainbow. Breathe in Limerick as the song. I've never seen that. I must look it up on YouTube. Picture House, says somebody else. Rules of Science, that's from Seamus Toft in Kildare Town. How are you doing, Seamus? Anything by Enya. Make Me an Island by Joe Dolan. I don't see what the message is there. Sing All Our Cares Away. Great song, brilliant song by Damien Dempsey, but a bit tough. I Will Survive, Gloria Gaynor. Yeah, not particularly Irish. Lean on Me. Yeah, the late Bill Withers. I must play a Bill Withers song before the end of the week. A Nation Once Again by Paddy Riley, to somebody else. And there's loads and loads and loads. And as I said, I'm going to give them all due consideration this evening. Listen to them all. Hey Day by Mick Christopher is coming in there as well. Loads and loads and loads. This one, maybe this one. Yeah. No lyrics at all. I know, no lyrics. Yes, we're in the final week of the first round ties of the All-Ireland Quiz. At the end of it all, in a few weeks' time, we will have an All-Ireland champion. There will be a trophy of some description. Guarantee you. So it's a general knowledge quiz, 5 questions each, and the final question can be a 3-pointer or a 1-pointer. Today, it's Longford v Down. And representing Longford is Brian Kennedy. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good. What's your story?
Just got our Easter holidays, teaching in Ballymann, not too far from Central Park. And we've been pretty much off for the past 3 weeks. So
yeah,
a bit of homeschooling and distance learning and a few bits and pieces.
Yeah, so have you been online on Zoom and things like that, giving classes or what?
Yeah, we've been communicating by email to the children, and they've been sending in work.
Right.
Through that medium. So I'd like to say hello to all the children in St. Matthew's National School in Ballymann, and especially my own 4th class out there in Ballymann. So,
is it a big school, small school, medium-sized school?
About 370 children, so it's big.
Right.
It's big.
And what class do you have?
I have 4th class.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
What's your sense? And I know you know you're not privy to any information, no more than the rest of us, but what's your sense about, will the schools be back before summer?
Yeah, I was just on Google Hangouts with my own friends at the weekend, and a lot of them are teachers. Hello to all the lads, by the way. But yeah, some are saying it could be June, others are saying September. It's very, very hard to know.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard to know. So we're just kind of prepared to see what way we're going to do this distance learning after Easter, if that's going to be the course we're going to take. So it's very, very hard to know at this stage.
And your wife's a teacher?
Yeah, Carla's a teacher out near Granard on the other side of the county. So yeah, so we have 2 teachers in the house. So she's been doing her distance learning as well. And yeah, so.
And you have 4 children?
4 children, yeah. So I'd like to say hello to Claude, Connor, Joseph and Patrick. Yeah, it's been busy with them around too. So
who does the teaching in your house then? Do you share it or?
We've been sharing. 3 of them are in primary school. So they've kind of been getting different types of work. Yeah, we've been sharing it.
Right, yeah.
Depends on the day. It depends what's going on with our own school. So.
And everybody's still talking, which is the main thing.
Just about. Nobody. Just about. The weather's been good. We've been able to get outside doing lots of things.
Yeah.
So it's
going to get better over the next couple of days. I was listening to the weather forecast this morning.
So. On the rise, so yeah, it's good. And yeah, because children are supposed to be taking their break, and families, like, it is Easter holidays now, so we're all hoping everyone's enjoying their break from school.
Yeah. And you live in the country, so you've loads of room to move around and still.
Yeah, we've been out painting. Anything that's pretty much stood still has been painted at this stage. So,
right,
yeah,
okay. Right, you're up against. Final question. Have you ever represented your county at anything, Brian?
I have been on the Larry Gogan Just a Minute quiz years ago.
Right, okay. That's a lovely memory, the late great Larry Gogan. Okay, right. Up against Jarlath Tinnelly from Ross Trevor in County Down. How are you doing, Jarlath?
Hey, Ray.
Is it Tinnelly or Tinnelly?
No, Tinnelly.
Tinnelly, yeah. Tinnelly, right. Yeah. Okay. How are you coping with the new reality?
It's madness, Ray, but it's just the same all over the country.
Yeah. And the world. And the world, Jarlath.
Crazy stuff, crazy. Although I have to say, Ray, I think people have been incredibly disciplined over the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the country's doing a great job in self-isolation and trying to keep this thing at bay.
Yes, people have been very compliant.
Absolutely.
And I think the message that we're all in this together has got through to people.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, the numbers would reflect that, obviously.
Yeah. And you're not on your own there. I heard a door there. So what's your situation?
Well, I have two wee helpers here with me, Maisie and Oren, my right. two youngest children. I'm a father of four. I have Dara and Aoife as the two eldest ones, and my partner, Rosemary.
Rosemary,
so
okay.
We're all at home today. We're all at home.
Right, so it's four. Both of you have four children. Brian has four children as well. Jarlath, you have four children. Jarlath, have you ever represented Down in anything?
I have. I was, believe it or not, a county board officer for 5 years in our local county GAA.
Right, there you go. That's pretty important. That's pretty important. Now, this is important as well. Brian Kennedy, if you could be upstanding, please, for your county anthem. Here we go. The road near Abbey Shrewell, Brendan Shine.
Yep, Lockford.
Go on, Lockford. Now, up, down, Jarlath. Be upstanding. Here we go.
From Bantry Bay to Derry Kay, from Galway to Dublin town. Sure no maid I've seen like the brown Colleen that I met in the county town.
Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Yeah! I'm doing a boo.
Right, let's get a bit of tension going. Here we go.
Good luck, Brian.
Good luck, Jarlath.
Right, good luck to you both, Brian and Jarlath. Five questions each. When we get to the fifth question, you can go for a three-pointer or a one-pointer, depending on how things are standing. Right, Brian, you have to answer a question on Down to start us off. Which actor born in County Down in 1982 has played the role of Christian Grey in the 50 Shades film franchise?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I need an answer from you.
Jamie Dornan
is the correct Jamie answer. Dornan. Yes, it was there in the recesses of your brain.
Yeah.
Jarlath, you have to answer a question on Longford. Which Longford woman found fame on the dating series Love Island and recently appeared on Dancing on Ice? Jarlath.
Maureen Higgins.
It's Maura, but I'll give it to you. It's Maura Higgins. I'll give it to you. Yeah, close enough. Okay, Brian. In a rainbow, which colour appears at the bottom? Red, green or violet?
Richard of York, that'll be pen. I'd say violet.
Is the correct answer? Yes, that I can't remember what you call those things when you remember using a poem, but it worked for you. And Jarlath, what colour do you get if you mix blue and yellow together?
Blue and yellow would give you green?
It would, yes. Okay, we're on to question number three. We're flying through them. Brian, what star sign would you be if you were born on June the 11th?
I'm going to have to guess. Yeah. I'm Capricorn in December, so Gemini.
It's the correct answer. Well done. And similar one for you, Jarlath. What star sign would you be if you were born on November 16th?
November 16th would be. I'm going to guess on this.
Right, give it to me then. Give
Gemini.
Me your, no. Sure, we've just said Gemini there. You weren't listening. You're paying attention, Charles. It's Scorpio. But early days. Anything could happen here. We're on to question number four, our audio question. So for you, Brian, I want the name of this singer, please. Who's that?
Sinead O'Connor.
Is the correct answer? Yes. And Jarlath, can you name this Irish band, please? But I miss you when
you're gone. That's the Cranberries.
It is the Cranberries. Yes, you don't need to hear the full clip. It is the Cranberries. Right. So four plays three. Now, Brian Kennedy.
Yep.
If you go for the three-pointer, you can't be caught.
Okay.
You could play it safe because the three-pointer is a more difficult question.
Yep.
But they're only difficult if you don't know the answer, I suppose. If you can go for a one-pointer, and then Jarlath has to go for the three-pointer. He could get it wrong, but he could get it right. So.
Yeah, I'll go for the three-pointer.
You're going to go for the three-pointer. Okay. So if you get this right, you can't be beaten. And even if you get it wrong, Jarlath has to answer something correct to beat you because you're on four and Jarlath's on three. Here we go. Your three-pointer is this. Which of these counties is the fifth largest in Ireland by size?
Oh,
Kerry, Tipperary, Clare or Tyrone? Which of these counties is the fifth largest in size? Kerry, Tipperary, Clare or Tyrone?
Kerry, Tipperary, Clare or Tyrone? I go with Tipperary.
It's Kerry. So Tipperary is the sixth largest. So Kerry is 4,807 square kilometres. Now you're on four, so you're not beaten yet, but Jarlath does have.
Yep.
Now Jarlath, this is the maths on this. You're on three, Brian's on four. If you go for the point question, we're into a tiebreak situation if you get it right. However, if you go for the three-pointer and you get it right, you win. What's it going to be, Jarlath?
Great. I'll tell you what, that three-pointer was deadly, so I'm going to play it safe and go for
a run. Right. It was. You're right. You see, the more difficult. So here's your one-pointer to bring us to a tie-break situation. Jarlath Tinnelly from Ross Trevor in County Down. Who is older, Minister for Health Simon Harris or Minister for Housing Owen Murphy?
Oh, that's a flip of a coin. I'm going to go with Minister Murphy is the oldest.
He is. He's 37 and Simon Harris is 33. Which brings you up to 4 points, which means we have a tie in our hands, the first one. So here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. Impossible that you would have an exact answer to it. I'm going to ask the question and I need an answer straight away from you, Brian, an answer straight away from Jarlath. Straight away from you, Jarlath, okay? So it's the person who gets the answer closest to the correct answer. Okay, good luck to you both.
Thanks.
According to the AA route planner, what is the distance between the radio centre here in RTE and Castletown Bear in County Cork? Answer to the nearest kilometre, please. So from here to Castletown Bear, Brian, what do you think?
Gosh, 320 kilometres.
Okay. And what do you think, Jarlath?
220 kilometres.
220 kilometres. Well, the actual distance from here to Castletown Bear in West Cork is 388 kilometres, which means that Brian Kennedy, you're the winner. Sorry about that, Jarlath. Jarlath, we're going to send you out a Ray D'Arcy Show mug.
Strong. Well done, Brian. Well
hard
done.
Luck, Jarlath. Hard luck.
You're great fun. Thanks, Jarlath. Stay safe.
Thanks,
stay sane. Good luck. Brian, you and Longford are into the second round of the All-Ireland Quiz.
Great, Ray. That's great.
So we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I just want to say hello to my mum as well. She's here with us for the past 2.5 weeks. She's cocooning. Well, she's nearly cocooning.
But she's staying with you. She's staying with you anyway.
She's staying with us. She's been here for the past 3 weeks.
Oh, great. That's great. That's company for her and company for you and company for the grandchildren and all that.
Yeah, it's great to have her.
Great. Yeah. Okay. Great to talk to you, Brian. Mind yourself.
Thanks.
See you now. Bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we're going to chat to Conor Pope before we leave today. But before that, news arrived when we were on air on Friday that Bill Withers had died. And Bill Withers is one of my favourite singers of all time. And I was saying on Friday that if you get your hands on his greatest hits, it's really good value for money because you'll pick it up in charity shops for €3 or €2. And there's so many good songs on it, so many brilliant songs. And even the ones you don't know, you will grow to love. Anyway, it's hard to pick out a Bill Withers song to play for you, but I'm going to play this one. It's short, and we'll get to Conor Pope after this, in memory of the late and great Bill Withers.
Grandma's hands clapped in church on Sunday morning. Grandma's hands played a tambourine so well. Grandma's hand used to issue out a warning. She'd say, Billy, don't you run so fast. Might fall on a piece of glass. Might be snakes there in that grass. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand soothed the local unwed mother. Grandma's hand used to ache sometimes and swell. Grandma's hand used to lift her face and tell her she'd say, baby, grandma, understand that you really love that man. Put yourself in Jesus' hands. Grandma's hand. Grandma's hand used to piece of candy. Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand, boy, they really came in a handy. She'd say, Matty, don't you whip that boy. What you wanna spank him for? He didn't drop no apple core, but I don't have grandma anymore. If I get to heaven, I'll look for grandma's hand.
Bill Withers and Grandma's Hand. Conor Pope, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Ray. How are you?
And thanks for all your help throughout this, because you've been great for our listeners. You're writing in the paper today about the new reality. And
that's right.
There's a picture of people queuing outside a supermarket. And
yeah.
I don't know why, of all the things, of all the images that are going along with this crisis, this pandemic, that's probably one of the most depressing ones for me. I don't know why, but it is.
No, listen, I totally understand where you're coming from there, Ray, because it's been the single biggest. Well, there's been a couple. Obviously, there's been a huge number of transformations in all our lives. But I think one of the things that is really striking is the occasional trips to the supermarket. And I'm the designated shopper in my house. So once a week or less than that, if I can, I go to the supermarkets. And it's really, really upsetting and unsettling to see everyone keeping their distance and to see the regimented lines going in and out of the supermarkets and to see people shopping with face masks and to see the staff, positioned around the shop, reminding people to step back and all that stuff. And it's just so discomforting because it's so alien to our world. Mm. And it's one of the things that's very visible. It's a really visible sign of the terrible time that we're living through. And I have to say, and I have to say to your listeners, I think Irish people have handled it extremely well, because about 3 or 4 weeks ago, somebody, a retail expert, told me this was coming down the tracks, because this is what had happened in China and it was what had happened in Italy. And it wasn't a surprise. But when he was telling me it, he was genuinely frightened, and I became kind of frightened. And I was going to say, like, you're kind of thinking that, you know, we could handle that really badly, and you could see widespread panic, and you could see like almost civil unrest. But I think Irish people have adapted to this new reality incredibly well, and you see people queuing outside of all of the big retailers, and they're doing it with patience. Nobody's doing it with any kind of happiness, and there's no crack in the queues, but they're doing it in an incredibly measured way. And I think people deserve sometimes to pat themselves on the back and say, do you know what? This is a terrible time we're living through, but we're managing it, and we're managing it together. And I think one of the reasons why it's important to talk about this and to kind of maybe tease it out a little bit is because some supermarkets are managing it better than others. And then, you know, you see some supermarkets and they're great, and they're handing out disinfected baskets, and they're making sure that you come in one door and go out another door, and they're really policing the queues both outside the shop, and then as people come in, they're managing it. And then some supermarkets aren't. Now, that's not to point the finger at any individual company, because I think all of the companies are doing their best in incredibly difficult circumstances. But there was a very alarming report that was published by the Global Health Network last week, saying that, you know, one of the high danger areas for COVID-19 is the supermarket. And it outlined all of these guidelines that we should be following, both when we're in the shops, when we're going to the shops, and then when we bring our groceries home. And it was I found myself last Wednesday evening going to my local corner shop to buy 2 litres of milk, bringing it home, and then washing the container of milk. Mm. And I was saying, is this the new reality? Because, you know, some people are suggesting that's what you have to do, and there was talk of leaving your groceries in a decontamination zone for 72 hours.
What's the definitive, Conor? Because
there was a doctor that went viral from the US, if you forgive the choice of words, and he had a video, a 7-minute video on how to unpack your groceries, and he went live on YouTube last week and was watched by 20 million people. So I wanted to find out if this was the reality. So I went and I contacted a Dr. Kim Roberts. She's an associate professor in Trinity College. And she's, you know, in the Department of Virology, and she's, you know, so she's an expert in this. And I just said to her, what do we need to do? And she was saying, listen, the chances of you contracting coronavirus from your box of cornflakes is very, very small. So you don't need to be sanitizing. This is what she was saying. You don't need to be sanitizing your groceries when you bring them in. Now, best practice, what you do is you wash your hands before you go shopping, you go shopping, you come in, you wash your hands again, then you unpack your groceries, and then you wash your hands again. And that should be sufficient, because you don't want people to totally, you know, people have lives, they have children, they have partners. You know, if you do your big shop, you can't then spend 2.5 hours trying to sanitize every single product you've bought, because that just creates more fear. And I have to say, this Dr. Kim Roberts, she was, you know, she's been on radio, and she featured in the Irish Times today, but she would really put your mind at rest, because, you know, we just need to take a measured approach to this and accept that as long as we have good hand hygiene, and we wash our hands before we unpack, after we unpack, well then, you know, the chances of contracting the virus from your groceries is very, very small.
A great opportunity now to say thank you to all the retail staff, all the people who are working in supermarkets around the country.
And you're 100% right, Ray, because it's a proper frontline job.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes I think in the past people have diminished people who have been working in those roles. And we said, oh, I wouldn't want to end up in a shop or as a, you know. But these people are playing an incredibly important job in keeping Ireland going and keeping Ireland fed and keeping us unafraid. Because when you go into the shop, yeah, sure, the face masks are a bit scary, but the fact that the shelves are stocked and you can walk down up and down the aisles and you can buy your milk and your cereal and your flour and your toilet paper, would you believe, Ray? I mean, there's actually loads of toilet paper in the supermarkets now, despite all the panic from a couple of weeks back. So they do deserve a pat on the back, and they're doing an incredibly difficult job, and they need the support of the supermarkets and the big companies. And that's really important. And, you know, we'll get used to these social distancing rules, and then before you know it, rules will be gone.
Yes. And are, just on a negative, are any of the retailers exploiting the situation?
That's a really good question. And this is something that I'd like to ask your listeners for help with, because it's very hard. Like I contacted all the big five retailers. I contacted Tesco, Dunnes, Musgraves, who own Supervalue and Centra, Lidl and Aldi. And I said, have there been any price changes on your products? And Tesco and Lidl said no. Musgraves didn't really address the question. I put it to them a couple of times. Aldi didn't really address the question, and Dunnes didn't respond. But that's not unsurprising. Dunnes rarely respond to media queries, not just mine. So if any of your listeners have a receipt from February from their big shop, if they could photograph it and send it into pricewatch@rte.ie. Is that the address, right?
Yeah, pricewatch@rte.ie. It'd be terrible to think that they were exploiting this situation. I hope they're not.
Awful.
I really
it
hope they're
awful.
Not.
It would be awful. But like, even a small price shift, even like increasing the price of a litre of milk from 90 cent to a euro, would be just unimaginably bad, because nobody, and I'm not suggesting they are.
Now, in their defence, you know, doing business is probably more expensive now.
No, listen, there's certain products and like...
No, but doing business is more expensive because...
For sure. No,
you know,
absolutely.
You've obviously a one-off payment of the Perspex, and then you have an ongoing payment of whatever sort of sanitation you have. And in our local supermarket,
the flip
it's wipes
side of that,
and all that. Yeah.
But the flip side of that is they've seen a dramatic surge in the number of people shopping.
Yes.
There's every month a company called Kantar released grocery figures, and they released their figures this morning, and there was like a 27% increase in grocery
shopping.
I see
a worrying
in March
thing there,
compared to March last year.
33% increase in drink. That's worrying. Anyway.
Yeah.
Greenland have banned drink for the duration of the
pandemic. Don't be giving the government any ideas now, Ray, because
No, I'm getting dagger looks from outside here. I'm just sharing the information. I'm just sharing the information.
Do you know what, Ray? The thing is, all of the pubs are closed.
Yes.
So if there's been a 33% increase in the sales of drink in supermarkets,
makes sense.
There's
okay.
been a 100% decrease in the sales of drink in pubs and restaurants.
I don't know if that's how it works. But here, listen, before I leave you, I want you to go and do something for Bill Power. I don't know if you saw this letter to your publication today. My phone bill arrived from Three. It was €125. My usual bill is in the region of €25. I'm 85 and self-isolating. Like many of us older people, my only contact with my family is by phone. Are the phone companies going to profit from our plight? Bill Power wants
to know. I'm going to go and find out more details. I will be able to actually make contact with Bill Power myself. I'm going to find out more about it and I will report back.
Brilliant.
Because if the mobile phone companies are trying that stuff on,
No, they're not trying it on. No, in fairness, Bill is using his phone more, and that's understandable.
I know,
but there should be some deal. There should be some deal.
Could cut people some slack, particularly vulnerable people who are cocooning or isolating.
Yes,
but I'll look into it for you, Ray. I promise.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you before the end of the week. Conor Pope, thank you very much. That's it from us. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Stay safe, mind yourself, and stay sane. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Yeah.